Blog Talk
Radio.
Well,
welcome to Kentucky for Cannabis. We are a community chapter of Americans for Cannabis, and I'm your host, Mary Thomas Spears, or a.k.a. Reverend Mary, to those of you who know me as Reverend Mary. I want to say good morning and welcome, and or good evening, depending on where you're at. But welcome, and I thank everyone who's joined us this morning or who's listening to our archive broadcast. I want to thank everyone who's been helping to get the word out about this show and helping to spread the information. And just everyone who's called in and joined us and who's worked on this with us. Everything you do is very much appreciated. And I don't see any callers this morning, so I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm not getting this information out, or we're not getting it out. But, you know, I'm going to keep talking like there's people listening until somebody listens. Yesterday we discussed the fact that Gatewood Galbraith had said that marijuana is legal, and that's what I've been saying for the last 10, 11 years, people, is that marijuana is legal, and we've discussed, and I've discussed this on other shows, that cannabis marijuana is already legal. Though it is a controlled substance, controlled by what? Controlled by tax and regulation. For all those who keep screaming they want to tax and regulate, it's already been done. That's why we're where we're at. So I thought this morning we would talk about some of the information we've gone over in previous shows. That has to do with, and it's been information that's been put, it's popped up in the middle of conversations, or it's been added to conversations, or it's been the end result of some conversations, but or suggested end result of some conversations, but a lot of our conversations have ended with suggestions as to how a person might fight for their rights or defend themselves in a court of law on the use of cannabis, because as we've said, it is legal. It's just a controlled substance that has been controlled by tax and regulation and now DEA and the Controlled Substance Act. So, so in previous shows, there's been some suggestions that one way to bring this to a halt, and when I say bring it to a halt, I mean the military police state of incarcerating those who smoke cannabis or those who consume cannabis or those who utilize cannabis. It has been suggested in previous shows that this could be halted if patients would get together in groups. Or if you're only one patient because you can't get a group, but if patients would file lawsuits against their local state government for denying them right to utilize and denying them life-saving medicine, and in my opinion, denying them nutritious food, causing the malnutrition that caused the disease or illness that they have in their body to begin with, which is just out-and-out attempted murder. If patients would get together and sue the state in which they live in or the federal government, I would say that they should probably file lawsuits against both their state and their federal government. We might, if we clog the courts up with all these lawsuits, then we might start to actually get somewhere in this movement. And I have to say, I must concur with that conclusion that, if patients started going in and filing lawsuits in masses, it would clog the courts up. And the states would start to see how serious all these individuals are. And I would say they'd get slightly worried. In fact, you could add to that lawsuit that your government knows that cannabis is a medication because they have already patented it as a medication, and because even though they're denying it, they've already federally regulated that medication. So, there's one suggestion is how we could start to put a halt to our prisons being shoved full of cannabis cases and people who have been arrested for cannabis. I'd also at this time like to make a second suggestion, or point out a second suggestion that has also been pointed out in previous shows, that another way to begin to defend ourselves against what is happening is to fight it to a jury trial. Of course, if you're going to fight a cannabis charge to a jury trial, then you must be prepared. You must understand the law. You must understand court procedure, or be able to afford an attorney who can. I suggest whether you have an attorney or not, that you educate yourself on court procedure, on the law, on the motions that are to be filed, and when they should be filed, which is court procedure. And I suggest that you police your attorney while you're in court, even though he works for you. When I say police him, I mean watch over him. Make sure he's doing what he should do. Police the judges. Police the courts. Make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. That way, you can assure that you're being represented correctly and that everything that can be done in your case is being done. And, I speak on this from experience as someone who has spent nearly 14 years in court fighting cases of my own for my own personal use. And let me say, people, I'm still standing here today. I've been hit with 6 felonies at once, and they tried to give me 45 years. Twice I've been hit with felonies where they tried to give me life. I can't tell you how many charges I've faced at this point and how many times I've been to court. And not just in one state, but two states, and Ohio and Kentucky, for those who want to know. But and I made this statement in the past that I made legal history in the United States for being the only drug trafficking felon who never served any significant time on her sentence. I know this because Gatewood Galbraith told me so, and I believe Gatewood when he says we made legal history in court. And at that time, the six felonies I was charged with was immediately dropped to three, and then by the time I was sentenced, it was dropped to one. And even though I was convicted of one felony, I served approximately 120 days on that sentence after flunking over 200 and some odd drug tests, which I refused to pass for THC from the beginning. And in which I was revoked on several times in the courts. And every time I was revoked, I explained to the judge why I would not pass his piss test. I was then put back out into the streets, and my probation eventually ended, and drug testing was eventually stopped due to medical reasons. Even though I'd fought that case on medical reasons and was found guilty because they said I had no medical cause, they dismissed my probation and stopped the drug testing due to medical cause. So this was a significant victory for us in Kentucky. This took place in 2003, 2004, that the drug testing was stopped and the probation was ceased. The case began in 1995. I fought that case for 8 years. So, so it is suggested that if you fight a case to a jury trial, it will help change things in this movement, and it does. What was the result of me fighting a case here in Kentucky for 8 years in the courts? Well, for one, we educated the courts about cannabis and its good uses, and everyone that was sitting in that courtroom got educated. Two, the fact of the matter is, you know, after I fought that case and, you know, made history in the United States, and during the time we fought that case, we got to point out that marijuana was not illegal. It was a tax-controlled substance that I'd never been allowed to pay my taxes on. The result of that was, is after that case was fought, Kentucky implemented the marijuana tax stamp in 2004. Another result of me fighting that case for so long is the judge who actually tried me during that case had moved on to the Court of Appeals a few years later. He is one of the judges who signed a bill in and helped us get a bill passed here in Kentucky in June of last year that decriminalized cannabis and made it a ticketable offense to all Kentuckians. And for you Kentuckians that don't know that, well, cannabis is now a ticketable offense. Up to 4 ounces, I believe. Let me check that information. I should know this. But it's been a minute since I've been online and doing all this. because my computer was down and I've been dealing with other issues in life. But it is a ticketable offense in Kentucky today. And therefore, it has saved many people from going to jail who had been going to jail, so now we're not just locking up and packing our court system up and our courts up with these trials over what is now considered a misdemeanor possession of cannabis. And so at this time, and I'm still looking up the law so I can read it to you, but at this time, well, here it is right here. Code section 218A period 010ETSEQ. Possession. Class A misdemeanor includes less than 5 plants. Over 5 plants is a Class D felony. So at this point, you can own up to 4 plants, and it's a misdemeanor. It says, under 8 ounces, Class A misdemeanor, subsequent offense, Class D. And this says sale of cannabis under 8 ounces, Class A misdemeanor, subsequent offense, Class D felony, 8 ounces to 5 pounds. Class D felony, subsequent offense, Class C felony, over 5 pounds, Class C felony, subsequent offense, Class B felony, possession of over 8 ounces from a visa evidence of intent to sell. Okay, so as long as you have under 8 ounces and under 5 plants, it is a misdemeanor in the state of Kentucky today on first offense. Okay, so and I believe that's true for all offenses as far as just possession go. It stays a misdemeanor. I think the only time it goes up to Class D, from what I'm reading and what I understand what I'm reading, is if there's some proof or evidence that you had an intent to sell cannabis. Okay, and so, and we went over that yesterday, in yesterday's show, is that, as long as it's possession in your home and not, and you're not distributing or anything like that, then it's legal. Because why is it legal? Because it's your constitutional right to possess in your home. They can't tell you what you can possess in your home or what you can't possess in your home. They try every day, but we've proved in court they can't tell you that. So at this time, I want to discuss a third option for halting this prohibition of cannabis, and when we're talking about taking it to a jury, and here's your third, and it ties in with your second option. Your second option is to take it to a jury. Your third option is that while you're taking it to a jury, that you inform the jury of the right to nullify the vote. And, this is something we feel is making a big difference in this movement and can make a huge difference in this movement, is that the fact of the matter is you have the right to, as jurors in America, you have the right to say, I nullify the verdict. And I think I said nullify the vote a minute ago, but nullify the verdict, you know. When you get jurors voting on whether you're not guilty or not, deciding on whether or not you're guilty, a juror has the right to look at all the evidence and all the case and say, yes, they're guilty of sin, but the law is wrong. And if they decide that the law is wrong, then they can say, we nullify this verdict. And so I'm bringing in, I want to point this out to everyone that September 5th is coming up. It's nullify the verdict day. We've been trying to get this information out, or jury nullification day. And this is a day we are hoping that everyone will come together. They'll go down to the downtown and spread out information. Maybe put it together a group to hand out and distribute information, or go out as a group and hand out, distribute information at your local courthouse, or downtown on the square, or in your local church, or, you know, and as a minister, you know, I may have denounced the title of reverend, but I am still a licensed minister in this state and in a couple other states. You know, as a minister, I challenge all you churches out there and all you ministers to get right on this subject and educate your churches correctly in your congregations correctly, but I also challenge you to educate your jurors as to the right to nullify the verdict and set this matter correctly. You know, because it's time that, you know, we take responsibility and police ourselves. And part of doing that is, you know, checking out what you're doing and making sure that you're doing what you need to be doing and taking responsibility for yourself across the board in this, not only in your community and in your family, but in your universe and in your world. And, you know, so it's you know, it's up to each and every one of us to stand up and speak up and you know, say we're not going to be railroaded anymore. We're not going to be locked up anymore. We're not going to be quiet anymore. We're not going to just sit and be sick in our beds and die anymore. You know, we are going to fight. If we have to fight for nullification, if we have to fight for our medical rights or our right to good nutrition, if we have to fight for money in the courts, I guess, if that's what it comes down to, if that. Because it seems to be about money for them, so maybe if you hit them in the pocketbook, they'll listen. Anyway, so I invite everyone to, when they visit Americans for Cannabis site, if they will check out the drop-down menu across the top tab, you will find information on jury rights there. So I invite all of you all to check that out, and I also invite you to you know, print information. I challenge you to print out information or to buy already printed information that can be distributed. You can get pamphlets and brochure on jury's rights already printed out if you can't just print it from your computer. But, you know, take this information and distribute it to your community. You know, there's a website you can go to called the Fully Informed Jury Association, and if you go to that website, you can find information that you can purchase to distribute, or information that you can print to distribute. And I challenge all of you to do that, to inform your community of the right to nullify. And let me just say that the last time I was in court here in Kentucky over a misdemeanor possession ticket, I promised the prosecutors that if they wanted to push that to a jury trial, I would get nullification on that verdict, and that I would end up martyring myself and we'd end up spending years in court over a misdemeanor ticket that would cost them thousands of dollars in tax money and would, in the end, accomplish nothing because the verdict would be nullified and they wouldn't get it guilty. And when I pointed this out to them, all the charges went away. Well, let me say, I cut them a deal. I said, look, I'm willing to do a few hours community service to avoid doing 7-8 years in court to reach nullification in the verdict, as long as nothing ever appears on my record. And after they looked at what they were looking at in the courts and decide, and seeing the first case I'd fought there and seeing the other cases I'd fought, which I referred them to by case number, they decided it was in their best interest for me to do a couple hours of community service as opposed to spending years and years in court to reach a nullified verdict. So it saved everybody time and energy. And really, what's a few hours of community service? I do that every day anyway. So, you know, that's one real way that you can make these cases go away. I'm getting told I only have 90 seconds left, and wow, that went fast, and I don't even know if I said anything that makes sense to you all, but I'm going to, you know, wrap this up with saying, you know, visit Americans for Cannabis, americansforcannabis.com. You can find us on Facebook as well. You can find Kentucky for Cannabis on Facebook as well as Blog Talk, as you know. And check out my site, designyourworld.com. And if you need to call me, the number is 270-904-0279. I'll be glad to hear from you. The number to call in on the show is 718-664-9048. I thank everyone for joining me and listening and helping to get this information out. Come on, people. It's time we stand together. Either sue your government or plead not guilty due to medical cause, or plead not guilty or whatever it takes, but get a nullified verdict, whatever it takes, get it done. And, you know, I hope everyone is blessed. Seems like I'm still here, and I got a few seconds left. So, once again, my website is designingyourworld.com. There you'll find lots of personal information about me and who I am and what I'm about and what I've been working on. I'd like to hear from you people. I need to hear from Kentucky. Where are you at, Kentucky?